answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said
I'd be the chosen one. Asylum seekers are not Harlem residents. They are not citizens.
Heated moments at times as Harlem residents wanted answers about the city's plan for the vacant luxury residential building at 2201 Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevard, an emergency community meeting called Thursday night after some alert residents snapped these photos of numerous bunk beds being delivered to the property and realized it was going to be used as a migrant shelter.
Will it be a domestic violence shelter or a sanctuary for migrants?
Mayor Eric Adams unexpectedly dropped by the two-hour-long meeting and took questions from residents. Much of it turned into a larger debate about the legal rules surrounding right to shelter, sanctuary cities, and the migrant crisis. But he did promise several times that it will not be used as a migrant shelter.
Yeah, he made the promise to those residents who were in that gathering. Again, New York City Mayor Adams telling them, no, this is a large building over here with a pool and the special amenities, marble countertops. We're not going to turn it into a migrant shelter. But he did not explain the pictures that some residents took of trucks being brought in, U-Haul trucks, apparently hired by the city or rented by the city, to start unloading boxes of beds to be assembled. We're not going to do that. We just happen to drop those beds off. We dropped those beds off there. And again, the Harlem residents were not being notified. Now, again, how do you do this if you're the mayor of New York City that you actually think you're going to have something like this happen and no one notices? And secondly, your Harlem residents, which would be a backbone of your constituency in addition to others, you're just trying to pull a scam on them? And this is a black mayor. Are you taking your own people and their race to be ignorant that they're not going to pay attention to what's going on? And it's not just black residents of Harlem. There are other minorities and whites that live in Harlem area and around the area. They're all concerned about the immigrant issue. And the governors are going back and forth over shipping migrants to other cities. Oh, wait till I get into that. We got a lot to cover today. And here we are, the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA, right here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss anything, remember, always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you can find it. Listen and or watch, because when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. A lot of ways to watch us at any point you can, and then to share with others. I love it when you share, because then you're letting other folks realize, hey, this is a program we cannot miss. And yet I know you have your other things to do in life, like family. And I'll always say family first. So if you can't watch or listen at this appointed time when we're on the air, you can always pull it up later. So that report coming out of New York, dealing with what's been going on, supposedly contrary to what the city has been saying. And, of course, remember, New York City Mayor Adams has been complaining about all the illegals being sent in anyway. We've had numerous battles going back and forth between various governors about quit sending us illegals. And in one case, let me find this story for you. I've got so many different sources. You have to understand, when I come into the newscast, into this program, and let me stress something. This is not a newscast. I don't want you to ever believe it's a newscast. I use a lot of facts. I use news details. But this is Larry Connors USA. It is more of an opinion commentary piece. yet I still try to give you balance of facts and make sure you get both sides of the story. But before I get into the governors, I'm reminded that there's something I didn't want to overlook, and that is New York rule change making thousands of migrants eligible for cash payments. We have discussed this before, but there's an update just a couple hours ago, earlier than that, I should say, stating that as many as 17,000 migrants who do not qualify for the state's welfare program, the Democrat New York Governor Hochul, her administration has been quietly changing the state's safety net assistance program eligibility rules to allow non-citizens to have pending applications for asylum to receive these benefits. Two things here. That's going to cut into benefits that would be eligible or available, I should say, for American citizens that might need them. Oh, you can say, well, it's not. Well, it will eventually, unless you come up with more money. And who's going to end up footing that bill? American citizens, taxpayers. They're going to make thousands of migrants, as they want to refer to them, I would still say and insist illegals, eligible for these payments. That's the New York Post report, and say it was made through the state's Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance, sending a message to social service agencies throughout the state, but they won't say how many migrants are currently getting them. No, they're going to hide that. What they are trying to say, according to what they're reporting from the OTDA, that is the Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, saying only a small portion, that's their quote, small portion of the $4.3 billion set aside for the migrant crisis have been used for these payments. I still want a full accounting at some point of these NGOs, these non-government organizations which step in and help house migrants or move them around the country, and how they're tracking them and watching over them, especially when it comes to the kids. But I will guarantee you there's a lot of fraud and theft going on in the midst of those agencies. Some might really be doing the best job they can under the circumstances and are doing with heart and humanity. Others are doing it for the bottom dollar they can get and more. This report does note that more than 173,000 illegals have made their way to New York City. So 10% of them, if 10% were getting payments, it'd be 17,000 just in the city of New York. But that's only an estimate. No one really knows the numbers. No one knows the number of illegals we have in the country. And here's where we've got the governors clashing back and forth. They are looking at the issues, and Governor Pritzker of Illinois is one of the ones complaining that San Francisco and others are apparently shipping some of their illegals into his state. He doesn't like that. Well, I thought you were also a sanctuary city and state. Many of these who are in the midst of being a city or state sanctuary area, they're now wanting to change that. We think maybe we just need to get out from under this. You think? Now, again, when the mayor shows up at this gathering of Harlem residents complaining about what's going to happen to a building that's been vacant, that's going to be given to illegals, not to citizens of New York, and he stands there and says, even though the bunk beds are unloaded and in boxes outside the building, he stands there and says, that's not going to happen. The reporter for the New York TV station said, was something else we had.
Staff with the city's Department of Homeless Services and Social Services then spoke, acknowledging the original plan was to use the building as an emergency migrant shelter, but said now it will be used as traditional housing for homeless families with children. Longtime Harlem residents like Regina Smith annoyed the community wasn't notified.
There was no transparency whatsoever.
And Smith and many of the other Harlem residents who attended the meeting say Harlem residents should be able to move into the property that has apartments with marble countertops and amenities like a pool.
We absolutely need affordable home ownership. There are such things as low-income co-ops and income-targeted affordable housing. And that's absolutely what we need.
And that sounds right and correct, and especially New Yorkers, American citizens, should get that opportunity first. Again, if you're going on the basis of humanity, I'd love to see everyone in the world have a full stomach and good health care and a safe place to sleep at night. But it does get back to the bottom line that if it's my family or yours, my family's going to come first, just as I expect you would make your family first. We as a nation and this country should put Americans first. And where we can help others, we do. We have built this country out of legal immigration. We have a full amount of migrants across the nation that are here legally and going through the process of citizenship. But these folks, the first thing they did was break a federal law, illegally entering our country, until Biden and them decide to come up with this parole provision where, well, we'll let you come in and you come back for a court hearing in 6, 8, maybe 10 years from now and see what the status is. And I'll remind you again, every baby born to an illegal woman becomes a U.S. citizen. As they should, in the sense of being a U.S. citizen born here. That's our law and rule. But what, again, it's going to do is cut into American citizens who had American citizen parents here, and on and on. All right, let me turn our attention to Ukraine and Russia for an update and money being involved. And Biden talked to reporters right after a conversation he had with Ukraine President Zelensky.
I spoke with Zelensky this afternoon to let him know that I was confident we're going to get that money to keep that country from being overrun by Russia. You know, there's so much at stake. I watched the television the other night and one of the other Republican candidates saying, I've never explained to the American people why NATO is so important. NATO is critical to our survival. NATO has held, we have never been able to avoid a European conflict. As long as there's NATO, we have allies. Allies that are competent and have defended us. And by the way, the only time Article 5 has been invoked is when we were attacked on 9/11. So the idea that we're going to walk away from Ukraine, the idea that we're going to let NATO begin to split, is totally against the interests of the United States of America.
And you know, it does not have to be, and that's the way he wants to polarize it. And polarize is the correct word. He wants us at odds over this issue. And we're seeing it inside Congress, both houses. And it's not a matter of not wanting Ukraine to have the aid it needs. It's first the matter of priorities, doing the U.S., protecting our border. It's as simple as that. You can have both if you begin by protecting our border. And I mean really closing it down and protecting it. Some of the senators right now that are holding out on the bill in the Senate, they thought they'd be able to get through, include Ted Cruz, who's voted for every Ukraine funding bill, but has reached a point where accountability, how's it going to be spent, and what are we going to do about our border first? Why are we going to protect the others? I want to take you back to last week when Rand Paul was speaking out on this in the Senate.
What we have here is a Ukraine first bill This bill was never really about securing our border, but about securing another's country's border. What we have here is a failure of the elites of Washington on both sides of the aisle, the leadership in the Democrat Party, the leadership in the Republican Party. What we have here is a failure of these elites to understand that the American people want to put America first. 61% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck, and they want to put Ukraine first. I want you to talk to your constituents at home, the ones who live paycheck to paycheck, and tell them why you're shipping $60 billion to Ukraine. This will be $170 billion. We have never before in the history of the United States flooded so much money into another country.
He's absolutely correct, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. The other issue is of that money that's in the current bill, a lot of it would be going for U.S. companies to produce more of the weapons, munitions needed, not just for Ukraine, but for our military, because we've given so much away. We've got to replenish our stock. But it's all under the Ukraine aid package. And the rest of it is for additional armaments and so forth for Ukraine to buy from elsewhere. Why does it have to be an either or? It can be both if you begin with protecting America. You know, there are times you probably have encountered somebody, and I don't care how you talk to them, how you explain, how you draw it out, how you have all the facts, they just sit there and with a blank stare, or they spit and argue back in your face. I want it my way. And yet, what do we hear Schumer always saying? Let's compromise. He does not mean compromise. He means you fall on your knees in front of me, and I've got what I want. Been no knee to any man. Of course, by the way, speaking of what's happening in Russia, Russian officials apparently are still refusing to release the body of Alexei Navalny after his sudden death in an Arctic prison camp last week. They are now saying he just suddenly had sudden death. Sudden death, he's not an infant, but kind of like SIDS, I guess. He just was on a walk after being on a TV monitor talking to a judge via video for a trial hearing, and he just suddenly died. And his mother went to the prison, and she was told he had sudden death syndrome. But she's not getting his body, and you know why? According to them, and I think they're probably right, they're giving time for the chemicals that might be in his body to be dissolved and disappear. Sudden death can happen, a bullet to the brain. It can also happen if you ingest or are given, administered, a deadly dose of something. At given time, it might not be that readily detectable. Wait till you hear about the New York trucker strike. Is it going to work? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours.
314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett. Greg, all right, we've had the weekend to digest what happened on Friday. As you wake up Monday morning, how are you feeling about the $350 million and maybe the appeals process moving forward? Because there are a lot of people sort of chattering about this not perhaps standing for much longer.
Oh, I don't think it would, even though the highest court is occupied, the full court, by seven justices appointed by Democrat governors. But even they would look at this and say it's ludicrous, because under the law, Guy, damages must always reflect the measurable harm. Here, there was none. Not a single person lost money. Nobody testified they were injured. Just the opposite. Lending banks made enormous profits. So, you know, how in the world you can use a consumer protection statute where the consumer has not been harmed is a legal mystery. You know, the bank executives testify they were never defrauded or deceived. This was a biased judge who happily bought into the contorted arguments of the Democrat attorney general who ran on the promise to get Trump.
And that she did, Letitia James. She made it very open. I will get Trump. And now I have. And, of course, she brought that civil case, and it appeared in front of New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron. I'm not trying to mispronounce his name. I have heard different pronunciations, but if I were going to mispronounce it, I'd find something a lot worse than what I'm doing now. He issued a 92-page decision barring Trump from serving as an officer or director of any corporation or any other legal entity in the state of New York for 3 years. His sons are banned for 2 years. And, of course, on top of that, Trump and the Trump Organization all are to be paying a $354 million penalty, which is the stiffest in corporate sanctions in New York history. In New York history, nothing like that. And the total jumps to $453 million when you consider the prejudgment interest. Now, keep in mind, the claim is that Trump was stealing and lying about his properties, overvaluating so he could get a better loan deal. Who was the victim? Well, if you missed the first hour, John LeBoutier was my guest. He is a never-Trumper. He's a Reaganite. And he insisted the people of New York State suffered. And he was willing to accept the fact that, well, so Letitia James ran on that. Doesn't mean anything. He said it was mainly also, not mainly, I'm not going to put words into his mouth. I strongly encourage you to listen to it again. But that Trump's behavior didn't help him. That might be true, both in front of a jury or a judge. But are they going to be looking at facts or are they going to be looking at demeanor? What if a guy just sits there and looks sulking and just depressed all the time? Is that going to affect, well, maybe we should give him leniency. He killed, talking about another case, make one up. He killed 40 people on purpose, but got his head down. He's repressed and saddened, knowing he may have to go the death penalty for it or spend the rest of his life in prison. Will that maybe affect them? Say, let's go light on him. Obviously, that's not the way justice should be handed out. Engoron had ruled last fall that Trump and his company repeatedly violated state fraud law by systemically misrepresenting the value of some of his properties and his overall net worth. Well, I'm going to tell you I'm worth $500 million. I could tell you that all day, and you could believe me or not believe me. I go to the bank and say, I want a $20 million cash loan right now. Well, why? Because I'm worth $500 million. Do you think they're going to want to see some evidence to back that up? The bank is a fiduciary for its investors. Should be looking details. What do you got that's worth anywhere near that amount? Oh, I got an old baseball card I had on my bicycle when I was 5 years old. Used it to make the bicycle sound like a motorcycle. I still have it. No, we're not going to do that. Well, I tried. Now, if I'd gotten it, would I be found guilty of the fraud? Especially if I paid the money back? What if I held it for one day? One day. Took the interest I could make on it, which is not much nowadays, even for $20 million. And then I paid it back, plus the interest they had would have been charging me. I might still come out ahead. Did anybody get hurt? Nope, I just pulled off a good joke on them. Every business owner at some point overappraises the value of different equipment and so forth. The banks know it because they're involved in it. And if they're doing due diligence, you're never going to get the loan or what you want. But then you've got the attorney general. Before she was ever attorney general, yes, it had been in the news, as my guest John LeBoutier had pointed out in the previous hour. The whole story had been in the news long before she was elected. That's true. But she did not have access to all the documents and everything. And Cyrus Vance, who was the Manhattan prosecutor, passed on it. Said, I'm not going to do that. There's nothing there. He's in Manhattan, where the supposed crime took place. Letitia James ran for attorney general. She wanted to be governor, but didn't get that, so go attorney general, and I'll get Trump for you. Well, they ain't even looking at the facts of the case. Once again, back to Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst.
This was an attorney general who, as I say, campaigned on a promise to target a specific individual and then spent a couple of years searching for an offense to pin on him. You know, when you campaign on a promise like that, when you prejudge a case that you don't even have access to the evidence and preordain an outcome, that is an egregious violation of the canons of ethics that govern prosecutors. And look, Donald Trump didn't prepare his financials. He hired professionals, top lawyers, accountants, real estate experts. They're the ones who did the valuations. Then the banks did their own due diligence, and they said, you know what? He has more than enough to secure the loans. In the end, they called him their whale. They wanted to do more business. So again, nobody was harmed.
Nobody was harmed. John LeBoutier was pointing out, as Letitia James was, well, they say that New York got harmed by lack of taxes and everything. The people of New York are being harmed by the state taxes to begin with. And now because of this, many truckers are getting together. It's not really an organized boycott. And if it's a company trucker and his company tells him to go there and he doesn't do it, he could lose his job. But a lot of them are independents. They haul for different companies. And they may refuse an order if it's going to go to New York. And one trucker says it very clearly as to what will happen if there is a trucker strike against going into New York.
Certainly, if truck drivers were to boycott New York City, the impact has the potential to be very damaging and very quickly. We're talking about supermarkets, big box stores, and other businesses that rely heavily on trucking. They would feel the pinch, and so would their customers. About 90% of communities here in New York City rely heavily on trucking to move their goods. This morning, we're on the Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge, and every day you can see hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks crossing the bridge from Jersey into the city. Meanwhile, one man is now telling truck drivers not to come to New York City after former President Trump was hit with that massive multi-million dollar fine last week. Take a listen.
I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the last hour 15 minutes. And I'm talking to at least 10 drivers going the other way. I'm heading down from South Wisconsin. And they're going to start refusing loads in New York City starting on Monday.
They're doing more than just, there's a Smokey up ahead of us, you know, talking about Highway Patrol. They're encouraging other truckers, turn around, don't go into New York City. This morning I was listening to Vic and Ken on the Vic Porcelli Show, and they were saying the price of pizza now at $35 in New York City, $35? If that's true, imagine what's going to happen now if ingredients are short and just getting deliveries in. And here's another trucker saying, I'm going to abide by it. I'll go with it.
It could shut New York City down. And, you know, I don't want to hurt the people of New York. That's not what I'm trying to do. But my part in it, if New York just loses 10%, just 10% of the trucks that go in there, their prices are going to skyrocket on everything from milk to eggs to any type of goods that the consumer needs. And when that happens, it's going to cost everybody more money.
And again, they're doing this because they believe Trump was railroaded. And even if he had been found guilty, as they did, the penalties are extreme, over the top. He's got rights of appeal, but he's got to put a lot of money up front before he can begin the appeals. And then I've got this story for you out of California. Two brothers charged and now pleading guilty for defrauding the U.S. Postal Service of over $2.3 million over 3 years. 3 years. How'd they do that? Well, they would go USPS priority mail packages and pay money for that, and then, of course, pay for insurance on it, and then claim they never got the package. It never went to where it was supposed to go. So they filed a claim, and they'd already made a claim that maybe what was in the package was worth maybe $1,000, $1,500. They continued to do this repeatedly, claiming at least $100 insurance money each time. And over that time, over 3 years, $2.3 million they brought in? Now, that's a scam. But I don't say lock them away for life for it, like they're trying to do a Trump. Coming up, Joe Biden facing additional problems and a breaking story from Politico that might involve him. And also, maybe he wants to go away from electric cars.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary. and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokes that lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors.
All right, welcome back. And as always, I'm going to give you the source for this so you can double check. And I always encourage you, don't take what I tell you simply for fact. Check it out yourself. I do not want a bunch of drones following me around and saying, yeah, Larry said, until you know the source so you can even quote from the source if you need to. I have built over the decades a reputation based upon what I say is a fact. And if I'm wrong, I will come back and tell you I was wrong. I either had the facts wrong because of my lack of preparation in doing it, or relied on someone who may have made a mistake at their end, or maybe they were intentionally trying to lead me down a false trail. Let me share something very quickly with you. Years ago, in Houston as a reporter, I was doing several stories on corruption inside the Houston Police Department. I got a tip from a guy who said, hey, I know something else they're doing. I don't have all the story, but here's Sergeant So-and-so. He said he'll talk to you off the record. So I make an appointment to give Sergeant So-and-so. He gives me a few more details than what the first guy said, but added, I don't know all of it. Go check with Lieutenant So-and-so. He has an overview that I don't have. So I went to the lieutenant. He confirmed everything I'd been told and said, yep, all that's true, and here's some additional information. Man, I'm getting a lot of good stuff. And then he said, there's a captain that had also been involved but has now retired. He might actually be able to talk on the record. So I went to talk to him, and he said, it's all true, and here's some more to know about it, but I can't go on the record. I'm still, you know, have to worry about my life, my safety. But you can use the information. I had a heck of a story. I had numerous sources. I couldn't identify them for the public. But I trusted them, and then one after another, they told me the same story. And everything seemed to fit together. The dates, the times, everything worked out. But there was something about it that just, something in my gut that said, I don't know if this story is fully baked yet or not. And I didn't rush out and report it. I sat on it for 10 days, 2 weeks, I don't recall. And then a couple of them were calling me, hey, are you going to do the story or somebody get to you? Nobody got to me. I'm just checking things out. And then one day a guy calls and said, hey, you're not going to do that story, are you? I said, I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. I'm just waiting. He said, good thing you're not. He said, they all got together and they kind of came up with an idea that to discredit you, they would put this out. And as soon as you release it, they were going to come out and find ways to deny and destroy the entire story. If they can destroy your credibility on this one, then everything else you've been reporting will be suspect. Just by grace, I wasn't running forward with the story. Because it's true. You catch someone in a lie once, are you going to believe them the second time or any previous time? Looking at a piece written by political national correspondent Ben Schreckinger. And he admitted something yesterday in an article that appears to contradict reporting in Politico itself, his employer, back in October, when they stated, no smoking gun exists that proves any Biden family wrongdoing. Now, Politico obviously leans more left, does have some good reporting and facts in it, and they were one of those who tried to dismiss the Hunter Biden laptop story from the beginning. The outlet had reviewed information said that shows that, quote, according to Schreckinger, Joe Biden's name and inner circle were more involved with the company than has been understood. He went on to say the investigation we now see is that Joe Biden's name and inner circle were more involved in addition to accounts provided by former executives, investor materials, describing Jim Biden as an advisor to his older brother, on top of Joe Biden's own previously reported encounter with the firm's CEO, and at least three of Joe Biden's work relatives did work with AmeriCorps. Jim Biden's wife, Sarah, son Jamie, the president's son Hunter also meeting with them, and the personal doctor, current White House physician Kevin O'Connor, in a meeting with Jim Biden and the president of a hospital being operated, or rather acquired, by AmeriCorps. All of that according to a former executive, plus emails obtained by Politico. All of this coming months after James Comer, the House Oversight Chair, back in October, said we have a $200,000 check landing in Joe Biden's bank account. Why would that be? AmeriCorps was apparently a business that was in a lot of distress, which had loaned James Biden $600,000 at one time, at least according to James Comer. In March 2018, AmeriCorps wired James Biden $200,000. And that very same day, James Biden gave a $200,000 check to Joe Biden. Some of this we've heard before, but it was really trying to figure out, why did Joe Biden get a $200,000 check from his brother? Was it payback for something that had been done? They were trying to say, well, they were just paying back money to Joe Biden that he had loaned. But there's nothing to support that. And this latest report showing the Justice Department found that AmeriCorps Hospital in Pennsylvania had numerous sham service agreements and had kickbacks as part of its scheme to bill the government for medically unnecessarily needed lab tests, which the hospital sent out to be performed somewhere else, and yet billed it as if they were doing it. And that's part of a federal prosecution conspiracy to defraud Medicare against AmeriCorps. And they ended up getting a guilty plea, according to someone familiar with the case, but the case continues. Now, this acknowledgement now in Politico involves the fact that James Biden is preparing to sit for deposition with the House impeachment inquiry. James Comer subpoenaed James Biden's business group and a couple other entities, one of them obtaining records linked to Joe Biden's corporation, Celtic Capri Corp, which has received nearly $10 million in 2017, but shows no revenue line items. And, of course, we have the SARS reports, the suspicious activity reports. The banks have to file. They have to file that or possibly lose their license if they suspect their bank's being used to launder money. Money is coming in, no source of where it's coming from, where it's going. That's what's called a suspicious activity report. So there's going to be a lot more breaking on that. The timing of it will be the issue. Will it happen before we actually get to the November election if Joe Biden is still in the running, which is still another option that's in play? Now, I mentioned earlier, as we went to the break also, Biden might be making a decision. To me, it's suggesting, in my opinion, suggesting he is willing to give up on saving the world if maybe he can get more votes.
The Biden administration is throwing their electric vehicle mandate into reverse due to election year pressures. Remember when this was Team Biden's favorite tune?
First crack at the new and different jobs for electric vehicle.
This sucker's quick.
How's it drive?
The future is electric, moving toward it at lightning speed.
Thousands of union workers here and across the country are building the vehicles of the future, the batteries that will power them, and the chargers that will support them.
Not so fast, Mayor Pete. Under pressure from the United Auto Workers Union, who withheld their endorsement of Biden until he caved on this, the Biden administration is set to slow their electric car mandate for manufacturers. The New York Times reporting, the change comes as President Biden faces intense crosswinds as he runs for re-election. While trying to confront climate change, he's aiming to cut carbon dioxide emissions from gasoline-powered vehicles. At the same time, Mr. Biden needs cooperation from the auto industry and political support from unionized auto workers.
So if he needs their votes and he's pushing employees of car makers who make gasoline engines out of work, he's not going to get their vote. It was announced the other day, Ford Motor Company saying, I think the phrasing was pumping the brakes on moving forward with EVs because the market's not there. A Forbes report shows a drop-off last year, 10% drop-off in EV sales just the last quarter of last year. And then all the problems and issues have been coming up with them, and the general public is thinking maybe they're overpriced, we're not getting enough incentive to buy one, then we have to worry about getting to where we need to go with the power of the battery hold up, especially if it's in the dead of winter and we need the defroster and the heater running. Sucking up juice from the battery, your mileage goes down. That doesn't happen with your gas car, does it? Or in the heat of summer, you run the air conditioner. That doesn't hurt your gas mileage necessarily, but it will pull down battery if it's an EV. Hybrids are probably going to be a more likely possibility for a lot of people, that they're willing to go EV in some areas where it's easy access and good enough, but I want to be able to get gas when I need to. I don't want to pass 30 gas stations trying to find a place where I can plug in my Tesla or whatever EV car you have. A lot cheaper, a lot more reliable. But Biden is basically preparing to ease his force because consumer demand is low. Dealerships have serious concern. They'll try to tell you, hey, these are good cars, and they're good cars on the lot. And automakers are now cutting production and revamping production of gas vehicles. And then I heard a story the other day that there's a, I want to say platinum. It's not that. It's not aluminum. I forget what the cover of the car is. drawn a total blank, my bad. But shortly after getting it, it's a Tesla, I believe, the owner noticed orange spots showing up on it. It was corrosive. And in fact, in the manual, it says if it rains on the car or you get water on it, you probably need to get it off as quickly as possible because it will begin to corrode. Folks who live along the Gulf Coast, they often see spots and problems with the salt air, much less getting in the water. But if it's that easy to damage it, you really want that car? Be out there polishing it every day and make sure it's good. And then I saw a video the other day, maybe you did, of a guy that just went stupid on a beach in Florida, I think it was, and drove his pickup, Ford, Chevrolet, didn't make a difference, just drove it out in the surf. Drove quite a ways out, where the well up over the well, the wheels, I should say. Driving up and down there, I guarantee you that car is going to have a lot of salt damage to it. And then we have an issue, of course, still following the shooting that took place at the Kansas City Chiefs rally. There have been a lot of negative remarks made about some of the players and, quote, drunken behavior. I'm not going to get into that. I'll just let that pass, although, again, you should be showing more restraint at that particular event. Same thing, by the way, happened at the Blues big parade. After the Blues won the Stanley Cup, a couple of the players and others kind of got a little bit over-served, and it became apparent, partly as folks were laughing at it, another part saying, not a good role model. But here's the issue that has come up, and it's being raised by the Kansas City mayor, Quentin Lucas. He's a black man. The only reason I point that out is because he's trying to make a point here. Governor Parson described those shooting up the Super Bowl rally, the Super Bowl rally victory parade. He said, and again, one person was killed, 23 others shot, including several children. He used the term calling a bunch of thugs were out there running around with guns. Well, immediately the mayor of Kansas City took issue with that. So that's a dog whistle. A dog whistle. He said, thugs is a dog whistle in the most classic sense. I've seen this dog whistle time and time again. Dog whistle, a term often used in politics. Again, this is the Kansas City mayor saying this. Refers to a message or phrase intended to be heard only by certain groups. Thug has been a coded language, typically to demonize black people as criminals. I have heard the term thugs about any group that gets out of control. I could see a little bit of where he's coming, but trying this, make it a race issue? And I don't think the shooters were black anyway. I think they might have been more Hispanic, although I haven't seen a lot of details. In fact, a lot of details have not been made because there were juveniles involved. Let me put it this way. If they were all lily white, and running through the crowd, just shooting it up for whatever, or a game fight going on in the midst of it. They're thugs to me. They're thugs. I don't care. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with what they're doing. They're thugs if they see an elderly woman walking down the street and beat her up. It's a thug. It's thuggish behavior. Don't play the race card on everything, especially a case like that. As always, thank you very much for listening. Let others know. 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, right here for you. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.